Good morning. It is truly my honor to stand before the people of God this morning to once again be able to break open the word of our God to study another portion of his word, to be able to stand here as one of his servants to do my best effort to rightly divide his word so that together we may examine what the word of our God teaches us about these principles that we've been seeing throughout this first quarter. To our friends who are with us, thank you for joining us. Your presence is an encouragement. Your presence is indeed a motivation to want to even be more precise with God's word. For all we're trying to do is give our God his honor and his glory, but at the same time, we too are trying to keep each other encouraged and motivated with God's word in hand. If you will, please bow with me as we pray before we begin. Our beloved Father and our most gracious King, hallowed be thy name. We, Father, call upon thee as thy word teaches us that we are able to do, seeking, Father, to draw near to thee through the avenue of prayer, wanting, Father, to always draw near to thee with the intent, Father, of being holy and righteous in thy sight. And as we now study another portion of thy word, we humbly ask that you be with us, Father, and that you allow us to put our woes from this life on hold, that we may, Father, focus and give our undivided attention to you, and that everything that we have done, Father, may have been done so in accordance to thy will as taught through your Son. We thank you, Father, once more for these blessings that we get to rejoice in, and we ask for those who are visiting us, for those who have yet to be your children, that they, Father, may listen carefully, that they may listen diligently, and that they may search thy scriptures, that they, Father, may have that strength and boldness to obey them if they confirm they have been taught correctly. Father, once more, forgive me for my sins. Forgive me for the wrongs that I have committed against your holy law. And allow me the boldness, Father, to always improve so that I can become better in thy sight. Father, we pray this not because we are worthy, but we do it in the glorious and mighty name of our Savior, your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. If I were to tell you that the words on the screen behind me in front of you are actually a translation of a word that we use in our everyday language, would you know which word I am referring to? You see, we often use the word church, but many times when we use this word, we use it in a way which has become very common in our vernacular. We're going to church. I'm seeing and driving by, and I saw the church on the side of the road. But the problem with that is that when we look at the definition and the translation of the word, we know that the word church comes from the Greek word ekklesia. And that Greek word translated into our English language is called out. So then this begs the question, if I am driving by a building, how has that building been called out? Or if I'm coming to an assembly and a gathering, how is the gathering itself called out? You see, we have to understand, friends, that when we talk about the church, the Bible refers to the people who have been called out as the church. We can be outside of a building, we can be under a tree and still be the church. We can be on the side of the road together worshiping our God in spirit and in truth, and we will still be the church. Because when we talk about being called out, if you paid attention to the scripture reading in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, the focus is on who is called out. Who are those who are called out? Notice verse 1, how it begins, therefore laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. You see, those who have been called out are working on this daily. They're working on making this transformation. And verse 2, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. But notice in verse 3, the next word, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. That word if tells you and I, friend, that it is not everyone has been called out. Not everyone can say that they are part of the church. You see, there is a calling that takes place. The reason we mention this and the reason we're talking about this is because the fact that the church means called out, well, then that tells us then that there is a calling process. There is a process where we must understand that you and I, who have already been called out, that we journeyed onto, that we participated on, and we went through this process of calling that took place. But there's a few questions that we're going to answer in the minutes that we have been allotted. For example, who is being called? That's the first question that we have to ask ourselves. Who is being called? You see, in this calling process, for whom is this calling? Who is being called? Who can receive this calling? Can anyone be called or only a certain few? Turn with me to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, beginning at verse 11, going on to verse 14. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. The Bible reads, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people zealous for good works." Now, pay attention to the pronouns during this sermon. We're always going to see us, we, them, they, right? And no, we're not trying to identify ourselves as either multiple personalities or a single personality here. But we're talking about the fact that these pronouns distinguish two groups. A pronoun of us and we is inclusive. It means that I am a part of and they are a part of. But them and they, it's exclusive. It means it excludes those who are not a part of us. So when we begin, notice in verse 11, that God, the salvation that God has sent forth, has appeared to all men. So the question, who is being called? All men are being called. All of mankind is being called by God through his salvation. But not everyone has received this call. Not everyone has accepted this call. Pay attention to the fact that there we see in verse 12 how we accept this call. Do you remember back when phones used to have wires on them and they used to be on the walls? And it would ring, and then when you would pick up, there would be an operator on the other end, and then the recording would say, "You have a call from a collect call from such and such. Do you accept?" You know, many times, brethren, we think that God will call us and that as soon as we pick up, he's automatically going to be on the other side. But what we need to realize is that there is a recording where it says, God is calling you. Will you accept this call? Notice in verse 12 that those who accept the call, the Apostle Paul identifies with us. Well, who are us? Who are we? Well, those of us who are denying ungodliness and worldly lusts. Those of us who live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. If I have not denied ungodliness, if I have not denied worldly lusts, if I do not live soberly, righteously, and godly, I did not accept the call. What I did was I hung up on God. And therefore, I was not called out. Because I remained in the same state where I find myself a day ago if I didn't accept the call. And if I have not been called out, well, then I am not the church, which means called out. You following me, friends? As we see this, pay attention to this. Then in verse 13 and verse 14, those who have accepted the call, those who have accepted God's call to salvation, they have a hope to look forward to. They, or us rather, are the ones, and he keeps using the pronoun us in verse 13 and 14, we are the ones that God, or that rather Christ, gave himself for. And we are the ones that Jesus refers to as his own special people. See, if you rejected the call, you are not his people, and therefore you are nothing special. But we have to understand that God is calling all men. This is not a call that only is for a few or select few, as the Jews once believed. God wants all men to be saved. But he's not going to force you to accept his calling. Which brings us to our next question. Where is he who accepted the call called out from? You see, we keep saying we're called out. The title of our lesson is Called Out. And we're talking about the church is called out. But this has to answer the question, well, called out from where? Where was I called out from? Where was I originally in that I needed to be called out from? Turn with me now to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, beginning at verse 9. And again, please, brothers and sisters, please, friends, pay close attention to the pronouns. Pay very, very close attention to the pronouns. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 14, the Bible reads, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us." Notice, we've been called out, remember? "He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins." Paul, in verses 9 through 11, prays for the church in Colossae. He prays for their spiritual growth. He prays for their advancement in God's kingdom. He prays for them to become more familiarized with the Almighty himself. But then, verse 12 and verse 13 and verse 14, the Apostle Paul reveals how we are common in our salvation. The same God who saved them is the same God who saved us. But the only way that can be true is we have to have been called out from the same place. You see, before Christ redeemed us, verse 13, you and I were being held hostage by the power of darkness. You and I, we were in the prisons. We were prisoners of war, if you want to call it that way, in the kingdom of Satan. Sin had us or held us hostage by death. But God delivered us, says Scripture. He delivered us from the kingdom of darkness. We were called out from the world. We were called out from our sins. We were called out from the power of darkness. But that's not all he did. When he called us out of the power of darkness, he conveyed us, says the Scripture. He conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. You know, I'm going to make a quick parenthetical thought here. It's very quick, very brief. For those who believe that the kingdom has not yet come, how can you be conveyed into something that is not there? That's all I want to say. The kingdom has arrived. The kingdom is here. And the kingdom is the church. And therefore, we've been called out from the power of darkness into the kingdom of his son. But pay attention. I didn't enter it. God conveyed me into the kingdom of his son. God took me. He snatched me from the power of darkness. He rescued me violently, because that word delivered there in the Greek means he took me with violence. And when he snatched me out of that kingdom, he gently laid me into the kingdom of his Son, of his love. He placed me because he was aware of my injuries. He laid me down gently so that I would not get even more hurt than what I already was because of my sins, because of my wicked decisions, because of my foolishness. You know, the idea is of someone who is in a car accident because they've been drinking. That car turns over and it's upside down. That person is hurt. And they're badly hurt because it was a bad accident. And then all of a sudden, there's fire near the gas tank. As you're trying to bring that person out of that vehicle, you're not going to take your time to figure out the science of how to do it. If the window is in the way, you're going to break it. If they have a seatbelt on and you have a knife, you're going to cut it. And what you're going to do as you're seeing and you're starting to smell that fire and begin to combine with gasoline, you're going to snatch that body out of there and you're going to run with them as far as you can before that vehicle explodes. But once you're landed safety, once you're away from danger, you're not going to throw them on the ground. They're already hurt. You'll gently lay them to avoid any further injuries to their already existing ones. That's the idea of Colossians 1, 13 and 14. You see, we were called out from darkness. We were called out from a world of sin. We were called out from a prison in which we were placed in by our sins. Because he conveyed us into the kingdom of his Son, whom he loves. Verse 14, the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, tells us this is what we know as redemption. Remember what redeem means. Redeem means to buy back. Christ bought us with his own blood. He bought us back, and when he bought us back, he took us out there as quickly as he could. He did not allow us to remain there any more longer than what was necessary. But we, friends, have to understand, we were in the power of darkness. We were. If we have obeyed the gospel, if we have accepted the call, this is where we were called out from. But the question then is, how? How is he called out? How are we called out? Those of us who've obeyed the gospel, how were we called out? Did we hear a voice that sounded rich and deep calling to us? Did an angel appear before us and motioning us to walk through them? No, let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Notice what the Apostle Paul tells the Thessalonians there in regards to answering this question. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we'll be reading verse 13 through 15. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 through 15 reads, "But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel." Pay attention. "To which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle." See, the Thessalonians, brethren, did indeed receive an angel, but it was not a heavenly being. The angel they received was in the form of the Apostle Paul. Because the word angel means messenger. Therefore, God did indeed send forth his angel, meaning he sent forth his messenger. And the messenger brought forth God's message. And it was through that message, it was through that gospel, verse 14, "to which he called you by our gospel," how God calls today. Because the gospel that Paul preached in the first century is the same gospel we aim to preach today in the 21st century. And therefore, because God does not change and his word does not change, God is indeed still calling today. God is indeed still calling out from the power of darkness. God is indeed and certainly still conveying those who accept the call into the kingdom of his life. But it's through the gospel of his Son. It is through the words recorded by the Holy Spirit that explained to us how Jesus was crucified and died on that cross, that explained to us how Jesus was buried in a borrowed tomb for 3 days, that revealed to us that on the third day, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, Jesus had been risen from the dead to die no more. And this, says 1 Corinthians 15:1 through 4, is according to the scriptures, and this is what God calls the gospel, the glad tidings of salvation, the good news. This is how God calls us today. This is how God called the Thessalonians in the first century. Hence why we can still be known as the church. Because we received the call, because we were called out from the kingdom of darkness, the power of darkness, and we were called by the Father through the gospel preached by his servants, by his messengers. He isn't going to speak to us in a vision anymore. He isn't going to bring his hand forth on that wall and write the gospel of Christ on that wall anymore. Because he has given us all things pertaining to life and godliness. You see, the way the Thessalonians were called, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14, is the same way that you and I are called today. By the gospel that is being preached by those messengers of God, by those teachers of the gospel, by those who have been called out and know how to lead us to the light that saves. You see, friends, we've been saying it throughout our entire lesson this morning. Who is making the call? Well, turn with me now to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8 and verse 9. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8 and verse 9. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. You see, it is God the Father who calls. It is God the Father who sent his Son to start calling on his behalf. It is God the Father who authorized the Holy Spirit to inspire these men to continue his call. But pay attention, friends, that it is a holy calling, as we see in verse 9. And it is a holy calling because, once more, this call separates us from the power of darkness. It calls us out from our death state that we were in. It is holy because God did not have to call us. God didn't have to call out to us, and he didn't have to call us out of the power of darkness, but because of his grace, according to his gospel, he called us out of the world for his own special people. He called us out of the world for his own purpose and grace that was given to those who have brought the gospel to you. See, the one who evangelized me, the one who shared the gospel news of salvation with me, he was the instrument, the messenger that God used to call me out of darkness. Those who I've had the honor and privilege to study with, those who I've had the honor and privilege to share the gospel with, even you now in the audience, if you have yet to obey the gospel, today, this morning, right now, God is calling you through this messenger who seeks to only share his whole counsel with you. This is not my calling. This is not the calling of the elders. This is not the calling of the deacons. This is not the calling of those prominent teachers that we had last week teaching in my place. No, because all of us are calling on behalf of the one who makes the call, the same one who has the power to take us out of the power of darkness and has the power to convey us into the kingdom of light. I can't do that, friends. I don't have the power to pull you out of your own darkness. And I much less have the power to convey you into the kingdom of his Son. My duty as a messenger of God is to lead you and guide you to the one who can. The same one who's making the call. The same one who is calling us to take his hand and to follow him to salvation. It is God who calls. And it is God who calls through the gospel of his Son, revealed by his Spirit. Perhaps, friend, you have yet to become a child of God this morning. Perhaps you have been hearing this call. Your phone, speaking metaphorically, has been ringing. And you've picked it up and you've heard you have a collect call from heaven and you've said, reject. You probably thought it was a prank call. You probably thought that it was not real. Or perhaps you feel that you cannot afford, that you cannot pay for this call. Christ has already paid it for you with his blood. That collect call has already been covered, but you just have to be willing to accept it. You see, you hear the voice of God calling. And you can recognize and identify that it is indeed the voice of God that is calling. But now you have to be willing to heed that voice. You have to stop resisting that voice. You have to discontinue stopping your ears, not wanting to hear God's loving voice. And when you know that it is him, and when you know that it is indeed the path that leads to salvation, you have to confess that you believe that he is your Lord and Savior with all of your heart. And you have to prove it. Your faith has to be accompanied by obedience. Because that is when we get called out. See, until then, we're still inside answering and talking on the phone. But once we decide to accept that call and to follow the instructions that God gives us, we then are being called out to him. In here, in our sins, we are not by God. God is not going to enter because God is light and he cannot be in the presence of sin. And it is for this reason why God calls us out to him. We have to go to him so that then he can rescue us and bring us into the kingdom of his Son whom he loves. This morning, if you have need to become a child of God, if you understand the gospel of salvation and you know the commitment that is Christianity, we can help you accept that call this morning. If you still have questions, if there's still doubts that you have or things that you're not clear of, we can study with you. We can begin to study together to show you more accurately the way as Philip taught the Ethiopian eunuch. But today, God is calling, as he's been calling, all men to repent and be saved. If you're ready to answer this call this morning, won't you come forward as we stand and we sing.